Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Wednesday morning, the Illinois Department of Public Health announced another 601 newly confirmed cases of COVID-19, plus an additional 38 deaths. That brings the statewide totals to 137,825 confirmed cases and 6,707 lives lost. But unlike in many other states, the numbers in Illinois continue trending downwards. So at the end of the week, we expect all parts of the state to move to phase 4 of eased restrictions. Joining us to talk about how COVID-19 is affecting their communities are two downstate public health officials. Monica Hendrickson is the public health administrator of the Peoria City and County Health Department. Monica, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And Gail O'Neill is the public health director for the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. Gail, thank you for being here.
Thank you. This will be fun.
And we want to invite our listeners to join the conversation. Is there something you're looking forward to in phase 4, a trip to the movie theater maybe, or maybe you're planning to hang back and see how it goes as other people venture out? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Monica, I'll begin with you. I wonder, what are you seeing with coronavirus and COVID-19 in Peoria?
So I think in Peoria, similar to other parts of central Illinois, we've seen, you know, maybe sporadic spikes that come in based on outbreaks associated with either long-term care facilities or employment areas. But overall, we've seen kind of a consistent drop as well. Specifically in our hospital data, when we're looking at admissions and ICU capacity as it related to COVID. So overall trending in the right direction and really kind of now monitoring what it means when we change phases.
And Gail, same question to you. I wonder what is COVID-19 and coronavirus look like in Springfield and Sangamon County?
Well, we've done the same thing. Our numbers have gone down. We did also have a long-term care facility outbreak earlier, a month or two ago, and that did quickly spike our numbers. They have come down. Now we're seeing a little bit of an increase each day, just in the last couple. So we are not really sure with the reopenings and the gatherings that have happened, if that's a result of that. But we're cautiously optimistic at this point.
Okay. And do you feel like you have everything you need in terms of testing capacity and you know, capturing what's out there at this point? Because I know that was a challenge for a lot of health departments early on.
Right. Right now we have the capability to do quite a bit of testing in our community. Both hospitals have outpatient operations where people can be tested. We have a Walgreens site, which is a 7-day-a-week testing site, which is doing well. We have had a testing site in our parking lot that SIU has, their Federally Qualified Health Center has sponsored. Its last day is Friday. We were a little concerned, but IDPH is going to put one here for at least a week or two to see how many people can come in. So, yeah, having testing available is a concern right now.
And Monica, same question to you in Peoria. Is the testing capacity where you think it should be?
I think we'd always want to see and make sure that there's increased testing capacity overall. But here in Peoria, we have a federal site or community-based site here outside of our civic center that's been operating. They average about anywhere from 150 to 200 daily, as well as our federally qualified health center, Heartland Health Services, has been providing testing at a variety of locations, including the health department on weekends, but also in very much high vulnerable population areas. And so our hospital systems have testing. IDPH, or the Illinois Department of Public Health, has also provided, as we move into the next phase, options for, I think, remote or pop-up testing sites as they're needed. But I think overall, we'd like to make sure that anyone that needs to get tested has the ability to get tested as soon as possible. And I think that's going to be really important when we move into our next phase.
And that was actually a question I had before we get to talking about phase 4. What are you encouraging people? When are you? Because early on, I think it was, even if you think you're sick, if you're not in a particularly vulnerable demographic group, just assume you're sick, isolate, don't come in for testing. Is that still the case? Or should everybody get a test even if they think they've just been exposed at this point? Or is it somewhere in between?
It's a little bit of somewhere in between. I think there's individuals that work in essential services or interact with individuals on a routine basis, that, you know, testing is part of now maybe daily operations for them in terms of routine. But we really recommend that individuals that have been with groups of people, you know, using testing as a way to understand, you know, what your exposure is. Because again, this virus transmits person to person. And so if you've been in contact with large groups of people or have been exposed to different individuals, whether it's been through different activities, then that's what we'd be looking at.
And Gail, same question to you. Similar guidelines in Sangamon County that you're following?
Similar guidelines. Yes. Yeah. Sounds like Peoria's got a little bit more testing ability than we do at this point, which is good. And testing is important for the next phase that everybody's focusing on, is the contact tracing phase. So as we find people who have tested positive and identify their contacts, we need to have testing available for them as well, so that we know and can kind of squash the spread as soon as possible. So yeah, that is important. And in the beginning, you can only test if you met certain criteria, because, you know, testing was limited. It's a new virus. There's new tests. There's all kinds of things going on. But from here forward, we should have increased number of tests available. And testing is the key to all this, because it spreads person to person, but we don't know who has it when, because we believe now that it's spread mostly 2 days before people might even have an indication that they're not feeling well. So yeah, testing is the key, and we need to encourage people to do that.
And Gail, as you know, this pandemic has been really hard on state and local finances. I wonder, as a local health department, do you think you have the resources you need? And you mentioned contact tracing. I mean, that's something that, and surveillance testing, I think, is what you're sort of referring to, as people get out more. Do you have what's needed for that, or is that still something that needs to be ramped up?
We have been very fortunate to be, you know, supported from our county government. If there's something that we need, we've not done without, and we're very fortunate to have that situation. The state health department has provided some emergency funding maybe a month ago to the health departments, which is helpful to try to cover some of our costs. We had, over the last few years, been able to hire some part-time nurses to help us with our flu clinics when that time of year happens, and they're always on standby if we have something happen. So we were able to ramp up our contact tracing and our infectious disease activities pretty quickly here. So we were doing really well with that. The state has offered the health departments sizable grants for contact tracing into this next phase. It's in the process, I think, for everybody. You know, we quickly had to submit some applications, and they're in the review process right now.
And Monica, similar question about resources. Do you think that in Peoria, are you getting what's needed there, or could more be done?
Echoing exactly what Gail said, I think we have seen funding streams come through. We use a different model here in Peoria. We don't actually use RNs or nursing staff to do disease investigation. We actually have a specific position that's related to investigating all types of diseases. And, you know, during COVID, it's been actually really advantageous for us to have that model. Likewise, we are hoping to get the funding approved and the contract signed so that we can hire. We've already started our interview process as well. But we know that moving forward, because contact tracing is going to be the cornerstone to balancing reopening, but also protecting the health of our community, making sure that we have those staffing levels up and running. And so, like our counterparts, I think we've been lucky here in Peoria, but, you know, some of our smaller entities, you know, it's not been the same story. And so it's not equal across the state, but in Peoria, we've been lucky so far.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Monica Hendrickson, who's the administrator at the Peoria City and County Health Department, as well as Director Gail O'Neill of the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. And we want to know if you're excited about Phase 4, eager to go bowling or sit down inside a restaurant, or maybe you have a question for one of our public health experts. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So Monica, as of Friday, as I said earlier, Illinois is set to move to Phase 4 of easing COVID-19 restrictions. More types of businesses will be able to be open. Can you give us a couple of the highlights of what is going to be different?
Definitely. I think the biggest difference that we're going to see is related to more of our entertainment capacity, more things inside. So health and fitness, taking things from external to inside their facilities. And I think the largest one that a lot of people's interest is indoor dining. And so the ability for restaurants and food establishments to operate in a healthy and safe way inside is going to be, I think, a lot of the biggest change we would see. In addition, we're seeing more non-essential services come on, as well as increase in terms of capacity. So right now, the gatherings have been focused around limiting to groups of 10. We're seeing that go up to 50 in different industries.
And Gail, I imagine there's some difference between maybe what people can do in phase four and what they should do, at least for some people. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, phase four is part of, I think, one of the things that we kind of battle is the complacency or the not excitement about wearing a mask. I mean, masks are a part of our lifestyle that needs to kind of get everybody to remember to be cautious and be careful and to wear the masks, whether we like it or not. They are hot. I mean, when you're outside, they can be annoying, and people are using whatever excuse to not wear them. And that's one of the things that we need to remind people, that phase four still means mask and still means social distancing. We can be in larger groups, but we still need to be far apart. So I think the idea of having some entertainment and indoor dining is really what people have missed. Movies, those kind of things, but we don't want to just be a total free-for-all. We've seen some of that in our facilities that haven't really quite followed the rules all the way, and there's been some large gatherings. Now, we've not seen testing to say that that's, you know, caused some of the spread yet, but we expect that it's going to be important to still be vigilant and careful with the wearing the masks and washing the hands and, you know, being aware of your surroundings.
Okay. We've got just a few minutes left in our conversation. I kind of want to do like a bit of a lightning round here. A few weeks ago, The New York Times came out with a survey of apparently 511 epidemiologists asking when they would feel comfortable doing certain activities again. And I just want to bounce a couple of these off to you and see where you stand. And I mean you in your personal life, not necessarily what the guidelines say we can do. And maybe you can say, I'd do this now, I'd rather wait a few months or not until after a vaccine. So I guess, Monica, I'll begin with you. Bring in mail or package deliveries without precautions?
I do that currently.
You do that currently. Gail, do you do that too? Or are you wiping things down still?
No, I bring it in without precaution.
So we don't have to worry about that. What about getting a haircut at a salon or a barbershop?
I finally got one and needed it badly. I got one last Saturday. So I felt comfortable with all the precautions my hairdresser used.
You did. And what should people be looking for in that circumstance if they're evaluating whether to go in and they're standing outside nervously, like peering in the window?
Yeah. Mine is a private shop that she operates, and she had the thermometer and wouldn't let me even in the building till she'd taken my temperature. She had, you know, a mask for me, which I had one anyway, but we put on a different mask so that if it got wet or anything, that would be okay. And she was masked. Everything was wiped down as I came in, and she did it as I was leaving. I was surprised that you can actually get your hair washed and not have the strings from the around your ears get wet or get in the way for a cut. So I think she was doing everything pretty cautiously. We've had complaints from time to time from people in the community that say different hairdressers or styling salons aren't using masks, and we send them out. And the public is good at reporting. If they don't see something that looks safe to them, they shouldn't use it.
And Monica, would you get a haircut now?
I just got one yesterday.
Okay. So that's all right. Well, Monica, will you eat at a dine-in restaurant?
Currently, no.
No. And Gail,
what
about
you? And I think a lot of that is partly understanding how the virus operates. Now, don't get me wrong, I think our food industry has done a fantastic job, like our salons as well. You know, they're licensed, they go through food safety, they go through a lot of requirements. A lot of my issue about not dining in or even dining outside is based on the fact that public health has always been kind of the, co-pilot in the backseat. No one really knows about us. We just keep operating. And having been full front and center a lot, being recognized, I kind of like to go to being anonymous eventually. So I think part of it is also just personally don't wanting to enjoy a quiet meal is kind of going to be difficult for a while.
Right. That makes sense. And we've only got about less than a minute left. So just get through a few more of these. Gail, will you be eating at a restaurant?
Not right away, just for the same reasons that Monica just mentioned.
What about attending a church or another religious or some sort of religious service?
I've started to enjoy the ones online, actually.
Yeah.
I think the church I currently belong to is big and there's room for spacing, but I'm gonna give it a few more weeks.
And Monica, would you go to a church or a religious service?
Again, I actually appreciate what the online services are, so likewise with Gail.
What about sending kids to school or daycare, Monica?
You know, this one actually really is a hard one. I have young children. Based on their guidances, I do feel comfortable sending them in. But at the same time, I think you said it can versus should. And because I'm able to stay at home at times, and my husband as well is able to stay at home, you know, it's not necessarily a necessity for us. And so I'm okay not doing it right away.
Okay. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you both so much for playing the lightning round and for telling us about COVID-19 in your area. Monica Hendrickson is Public Health Administrator for Peoria City County Health Department. Gail O'Neill is Health Director for Sangamon County. Thanks again to both of you. More to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.